welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. This week, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, Throwback, where I tell a story about how my mom always knew what to do in every situation, and we close with our BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is episode 123. Hi, Shauna.
Hello.
Hello. Why don't you tell me what's going on with you this week?
Okay. First off, she's 22 months. And second off, I am exhausted because she is in the throes of some kind of sleep regression. I don't understand it. I've talked before about how she's been kind of waking up at 5:30. We kind of solved that problem. And this week it's resisting bedtime. She doesn't want to be comforted, held, snuggled, nothing. And then I just like set her in her bed and she's like so sad and wailing and unsettled. And she does this at naps too. And her naps have been so short.
Like how short?
Oh, like 30 minutes.
Yeah, that's short.
And yeah. And she's the kind of kid that usually does not wake up happy. Anyway, even if she has a good nap, right? She just wakes up and like, why am I awake? So waking up from a short nap is just complete meltdown.
Oh, and she must be getting overtired.
Yes, and do you know why?
Why?
Because she's waking up at 4:30 in the
morning.
That's
not, I'm sorry. I know it's AM. That's not the morning. That's the middle of the night.
She's starting her day at 4:30 in the middle of the night.
What does she do? Like, what do you do? Do you go in and get her or do you let her just chill in her room?
Well, Steve did the first one and he's like, I tried to get her back to sleep and she just wouldn't do it. And so then he like laid on the carpet and kind of snoozed on and off while she just played all around him. I mean, she just started her day. And then I did the next day and similar thing. It's just like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. And it's so, Laura, these days are so long already with, you know, just like we are on childcare the whole day while trying to work. And now she's waking up at 4:30. The day is endless.
It's not okay. So here's a question. Like, what time does she go to bed? How much sleep is she actually getting at night then?
That's a good question. She's kind of resisting bedtime. So she'll sit and, I don't know, fool around and stuff until probably like 7:30 or so. We try to get her down by 7. And so 7:30 to 4:30, what is that? I'd have to count on my fingers.
10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 9 hours.
9 hours.
Which is great for adults.
Yes, not good for a toddler.
No.
Which is probably why, she's cranky and unsettled and having more time at every bedtime. Because like you said, she's doesn't have enough sleep. She's overtired and it's just not going well.
Because I think at this age, they're supposed to have, what, like 13 to 15 hours a day, something like that, altogether?
That sounds about right, yeah.
That's just off the top of my head, but I think that's about right. So she's working on a real deficit there. That sucks.
It's hard to fix, but of course I'm like, well, we need to fix this.
I was just gonna ask, so what is your I know you're not just like letting it slide, so what's happening? What is your plan?
I looked up sleep regression around this time, and you know, it's kind of a wide window. The experts are like 18 to 24 month sleep regression, and don't be scared
of
that.
Six month sleep regression.
I want to tell people not to be scared of that because I feel like at least for me, it comes in waves. Like she had a little trouble at 18 months when her separation anxiety peaked and then it got better. And something's going on now. I don't know if it's teething and then that led to the sleep deprivation, but I think it's just that sleep regressions can happen between all of that time.
So are you just chalking this up to the sleep regression and hoping it fixes itself or do you have like a plan of attack?
I am chalking it up to the sleep regression, and I know those past because I've been through this before with Elle, but I did consult the sleep experts online. Sorry, I don't have any specifics because my brain is mush. I don't remember where I found this information. A lot of it I'm already doing. Keep your bedtime routine the same. It's like, I know, we do that. Calming activities. We haven't changed anything up. Avoid screens. Like, no, we definitely don't do screens, especially at the end of the day with her. She doesn't even like screens. We know that.
Well, what about like light? Because I feel like they're always like, you know, like taking care of babies. She's always like, if you can see your hand in front of your face, it's too bright. But it's also like pitch black at 4:30 in the morning, especially this time of year. On our latitude.
Yes, we cannot chalk it up to that. Also, I have blackout curtains, two layers of blackout curtains. The outside light really doesn't get in. I will say she has one of those star projectors in her room that projects stars, that projects moons and stars up on her ceiling, and that lights up her room, but that's consistent throughout the night. It's not like it's popping on at 4:30. So one thing I read about was doing earlier bedtimes. You know, you want to get them in bed before their sleepiness wears off. If you get to a certain point, adrenaline kicks in and they're wide awake. So I'm like, okay, clearly I need to push it earlier. She's tired anyway. So I had a plan. I was like, I'm going to attack this tonight and succeed.
You're like, victory is mine. I will make this work.
Yes. I was very determined. So I started, you know, reading to her quite early, 6:15. We're in jammies. 6:30. It's like the lights are off. I'm singing to her as best I can. And by 6:45... she was very tired, right? She was yawning. I was like, good, I'm getting her when the melatonin is kicking in before the adrenaline. This is perfect. I lay her down in bed and I left and everything was fine. There was no fight. She was calm. I listened on the monitor and within 5 minutes, she was asleep.
Wow.
I was like, yes, I'm going to fix this problem.
So did she sleep all the way through the night?
No, because about 10 minutes later, she sat up straight in her bed screaming.
Cece, why?
Screaming, I'll tell you, screaming and crying. And this rarely happens to her right after she goes to bed, right? She'll have a night terror much later in the evening. So I knew something was wrong. And so I go in immediately to help her. And she's sitting in bed crying. And I'm like, what's wrong? What's wrong? She goes, Titi, Titi, which is baby, right? That's how she says baby. Baby, baby, baby. And I'm like, what? And I see her, one of her baby dolls in her bed that usually isn't in the bed. This is something they usually play with during the day. They don't bring it into bed. Cece had brought it into bed that day. And I'm like, baby doll? And she pushes the tummy on the doll and it goes, wah, wah. And Cece goes, ah.
Oh no.
I'm like, oh, did the baby doll scare you? And through tears, she's like, yeah. I'm like, oh, honey, I'm sorry. And she pushed it again and goes, ha, 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 ha.
Oh, my God. That is terrifying.
You know, it just has like a bait. It doesn't really cackle like an evil clown, but it does giggle, right? Giggling and crying dolls are just kind of creepy sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, no, I don't know what happened, but let me turn it off for you. And so I pick up the doll and turn it over because I'm like, I'm pretty sure it has a switch on the back, but it's pretty dark. And I'm like trying to find this switch and I can't find it. And in the meantime, I keep hitting the stomach of this doll and it's like, wah, wah, hee, wah. And I'm like, oh, my God, just fuck it. And I like just chucked it in a drawer and I was like, no baby tonight, no baby. And that fucking doll, man. I had my system perfectly down. She had been asleep. So I went back and watched the video because we have a camera, a Wyze camera now in there.
Oh, yeah.
And so I can go back and review footage. And sure enough, she was sleeping peacefully, rolled over in her bed, rolled on the doll, and it goes,
oh, my God. No, anyone would have freaked out by that. Come on.
Right? That's when she bolted up and was just like, ah! And so I was just so pissed at that doll that it ruined my plan.
I feel like that doll needs to disappear.
I know. Oh, my God. It so needs to disappear.
So how did you have to, like, stay for a while to get her to go back to sleep? Like, what happened then?
Yes, I did. But I have to say, these are the moments I cherish because Cece doesn't let me comfort her all that often, usually because she's in some kind of, like, night terror, like, get away from me thing. And the times that she's actually really scared and wound up are kind of rare. And so I just like get to swoop in like the mother bird and pick up my baby and comfort, you know, hold her. And that's when she just really snuggles in. And we did that for a little while and it ended up being okay. But it didn't solve the early wake up problem because she didn't actually get to bed early enough. So we're still struggling with these early wake-ups.
Ugh, that sucks so bad. I'm so sorry.
I know. It's so ridiculous. Moral of the story, don't let those crying and laughing dolls into your children's bed. Don't do
it. Or into your house. Just screw them. They don't exist.
Exactly. But, so we're having a tired week and I'm working on this. But other than that, we're fine and happy. And that's pretty much all I have to report for this week. What about you guys? How are you doing? I hope you're not as tired as I am.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like we're as tired as you are. Actually, I was a little concerned about sleep this week because we took a trip. We went to Fresno to visit the grandparents. And, you know, it's always nerve-wracking taking a baby or toddler on a trip to see if they would actually sleep somewhere else. Yeah. But I'm happy to report that he slept very well at grandma's house. And we had a really nice trip. It was just a really nice time to see everyone. We got, you know, COVID tested before we went. And, you know, we're extra safe. We got to see my dad and my stepmom a little bit before they actually went out of town on a trip. Mm-hmm. And then we stayed at my mom's house. And it was just a lovely time. And one thing I'm noticing, I should say that my toddler is 21 months old now. He turned 21 months this week while we were in Fresno. And one thing I'm really noticing is just it's so sweet to watch how attached he's getting to the grandparents.
Aw, sweet.
Yeah, like, you know, when they're infants, they seem happy to see people. But, you know, it's not like there's a big difference between different people, you know, like it's hard to tell if there's anyone they're specifically very attached to other than you and your partner, you know, like me and Corey are obviously his favorite people. But now, you know, we've been FaceTiming with my mom a lot and he always wants to talk to my mom and he always wants to talk to Doodles, which is he calls my stepdad Doodles.
Aww.
Doodles is actually a nickname that his kids had for him. And then the grandchildren all call him Granddoodles, but my guy can't say Granddoodles yet. He's actually just starting to be able to say Granddoodles, but so it's been Doodles. And so like anytime we'd get on FaceTime with my mom, he'd be like, I'd be like, oh, look, it's grandma. You want to say hi to grandma? And he'd go, Doodles?
That's exactly like Cece when she gets on FaceTime with Nana. Nana's like, hi. And Cece says, pop, pop.
It's so rude.
I know, it's so rude. Nana takes it in stride, though.
Yes, yeah. My mom loves it, actually, because she, you know, she loves my stepdad, and she's very happy that my baby has a relationship with him. So it's very sweet. And so getting to see Grandma and Doodles in person was like bonus time. Mm-hmm. So that was really fun. And Papa, he calls my dad Papa. Papa and Grandma Yvonne. So it was just really sweet watching him bond with them and getting to like actually play with Doodles's beard. That's a big, big draw.
Fun.
Yeah. So it's really sweet. The only downside of that is when we had to leave, he was pretty sad. And like, it's kind of heartbreaking to have to explain to them. Like, so we drove home from Fresno. It's like a 3.5 hour drive. Oh, and I should say, from a potty training perspective, we put diapers on him for that drive because I was not dealing with stopping every 30 minutes and trying to get him to use the potty on the side of the freeway. That's an aside. But anyway, so when we got home, you know, like every night before bed when we were in Fresno, we were there for like 3 or 4 nights. My mom would come in and like read him a book. And so like before bedtime that first night, he was like, Grandma? And I was like,
missed grandma's stories.
I know, like it makes me tear up just thinking about it because it's like he wanted grandma to tell him his story, you know, and I had to be like, well, grandma and Doodles, you know, they're home, they're back home and we can FaceTime with them later. And like for a couple days, every time he'd wake up from like in the morning or from his naps, he'd go, Grandma, Doodles? And it was like,
Oh, that's so sweet. I remember as a kid when my grandparents would visit from across the country, when they would leave, I would ball. Like, it just felt like the worst betrayal. It's like, you're leaving me. No. I just loved them so much. And now our kids are going through that.
I know. I mean, luckily, my mom lives close enough that we can visit. We haven't seen her for 3.5 months, which is like the longest she's ever gone without seeing my guy. She was like, she was losing it. She was like, I have to see him. He's my baby. Yeah. I need to see him. I'm like, well, hold on. He's my baby. But yes. Okay. So she was just as happy and she missed him just as much. But it definitely, you know, I see the appeal now of living in the same city as your parents.
I so wish I lived in the same city as my mom. It would be so nice. She's only 6 hours away in Phoenix, but still, that's like a significant distance. And I miss her and would love for her to see the kids all the time.
Yeah. And it's a long drive, especially as our parents are getting older. My parents are older than your parents. So, you know, it's, I'm not like super keen on my mom and my stepdad driving super long distances to come see us. But, you know, it's just tough. So, but we try to see them as much as possible. We FaceTime all the time. So it was really sweet to be there together and have him have his special grandma time. And
how fun. Well, what about your pregnancy? How's everything going and how far along are you now?
I'm 22 weeks and everything's sort of chugging along. This week was travel. So, you know, I have to be a little careful. Every time I visit my doctor, he's like, any travel plans? It's like his stock question. And I'm like, nope. And he's like, good answer. And this time I was like, well, we're going to Fresno. He's like, I'm okay with Fresno. He's like, Fresno, I can deal with. He's like, but, you know, I don't want you sitting for more than 2 hours at a time. I want you to move around. And he gives me sort of like a little lecture about making sure I keep moving. So he has like more to say about plane travel. I think he when we went to Hawaii last time I was pregnant, he had like a whole thing about it. But he's okay with a 3-hour drive to Fresno. So yeah, this week at 22 weeks, I think I'm starting to notice that my Braxton Hicks have started.
Whoa, that's like, I don't know. That was early, isn't it? I feel like I don't remember mine until like 30 weeks or so.
Yeah, so I also thought it was early and initially was like, oh my God, is this a problem? And I Google it. And apparently some doctors say that you actually have Braxton Hicks like starting at like 6 weeks or something. And you just don't feel them. Like, it's just a matter of being kind of like tuned in to them. Oh. And I don't know actually if I would have even identified them as true Braxton Hicks, except for I think I would have just thought it was like exhaustion, basically, or like gas. Because what was happening is I started to notice that if I was pushing myself too hard, like too much walking around, too much chasing the toddler, just having a long day, I would start getting like achy and need to lie down. And then I felt my stomach and I was like, oh, it's hard as a rock. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's what those Braxton Hicks felt like. And I think last time I just didn't know what they were until a lot later, you know?
But I do remember that they would kick in when I was more active during the day, too. It's so interesting how that happens. I'm not sure why.
I don't know why either, but it's a thing because I Googled it because I was, of course, like, oh, my God, early labor, what's happening? They weren't painful, but they were uncomfortable, you know? And I am now realizing it's my body being like, chill out, put on the brakes, stop doing all this shit you want to do, which sucks because I'm like, but I have nesting to do. And like the baby is finally in bed. Like, why won't you let me?
I nested right through those Braxton Hicks.
Oh my God, yes. I need to clean out my closet right now. Don't you understand? But yeah, it's definitely annoying and definitely a wake-up call because, of course, the minute I, like, recline on the couch and drink some water and chill out, they go away. So body is definitely trying to tell me something.
Yeah. Well, at least you have a solution for getting them to go away for a while and have that relief.
Yeah, it definitely works. Also, it's a really good excuse to be like, Corey, do the dishes. To be fair, he always does the dishes. So I am not complaining. But you know, it's a good excuse to sit down and just relax. It's hard for me, and for me too, it's hard for me to give myself an excuse to sit down and relax when there's just so few hours in the day
mm-hmm.
to independently get stuff done. But
oh, yeah. It's like jam it in. Jam it all in. Yeah. That's like the motto of my life right now.
I know. It's like you have 1 hour, you know, to get things mm-hmm. done. And it's inconvenient, body, for you to be telling me I need to rest. Like, give it a break. But so, yeah. So that's happening this week. And the fun thing is that the baby kicks are really starting to kick into high gear. And they're, like, not only easy to feel on the outside, like, I'm starting to see them on the outside.
Oh, my goodness. That's always so weird.
It's so weird. It's not the big, I mean, the very end I remember of my last pregnancy, it was, like, that scene in Alien with, like, the alien trying to come out. And maybe it was Aliens, the sequel. But it's not quite there yet, but I definitely can start to see the taps and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's nice to have that reminder that there's a little being inside of me.
Uh-huh.
And it also makes it a lot easier for Corey to feel it, which is nice. My mom got to feel some kicks too.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, which although she, like, I was like, oh, mom, the baby's kicking, you want to come feel? And she's like, yeah. She gets, like, real close, both hands, like, you know, really, really gets into it. And then she's like, oh, I felt that. And I'm like, I don't think that wasn't like, just let her think she felt something.
Oh, yeah, mom, that was a big one.
Oh, that was there it was. But she's enthusiastic, so I'll take
it. That's great. Throw her a bone. Throw grandma a bone.
But yeah, that's about it. You know, we went on our trip and my body is trying to get me to slow down and I'm pissed off at it.
Well, take this time to relax and slow down.
You'll
be thankful later.
I know. Anywho, shall we take a break and then come back with our special segment?
Yes. Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to StoryWorth.com/BFP.
That's StoryWorth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at oneskin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
We're back, and I'm very excited about this special segment, Throwback. It's the second time we've done this, and it's a fun one. We tell interesting stories from our past that might influence the way we parent now. So, Laura, you are up first. I'm dying to hear your throwback story. Take us back.
All right. I'm taking you all the way back to, it was 1995 or six. I don't know exactly, but the mid-90s.
I remember them fondly.
Yes, yeah, I do too, actually. It was a time before smartphones, mm-hmm. where you called your friends on their landlines.
I loved that. I would talk for hours with my friends on the phone.
Ever. Ugh. Call waiting. If you had like the thing where you could, what do they call it, where you could like patch in someone from call waiting?
Oh, I don't know, party line or something.
Yeah. Three-way calling or something.
Three-way.
Yeah. Oh, star 69 to find out who just called you. Oh.
Oh, that's right. Star 69. Or if you wanted to like conceal your number if you called somebody, it was like star 87 or something.
Ooh, I don't remember that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very important.
So this is the era.
Okay. Just setting the scene. I'm feeling there.
I was 13 in eighth grade. I was very into like going to thrift stores and finding like baby tees.
Baby tees. Oh, God. So great.
Little like mini skirts with thigh highs and stuff. Oh, my God. it was crazy. I'll have to try to find a photo of that.
Please.
And I think I had wispy bangs, if I recall.
Okay.
Yeah. But none of this is about fashion. I'm just trying to set the scene.
Okay, got it.
So I was in like eighth grade, and I had a great group of friends who I still am friends with today, by the way. I was literally just on a WhatsApp chat with all of them.
Talking about
things. You know, we're almost all parents and stuff. It's very fun. And we were a very tight group, and my brother had a very tight group of friends too who like overlapped with us. My brother was just under 2 years older than me, but because he was an August birthday, he ended up just being a year ahead of me in school. So,
oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah. So we were just a year apart in school. And so our friends all knew each other, and he was a boy and we were girls. So, you know, older boys tend to hang out with younger girls just a little bit, right? So basically, the point is you just have this like big friend group, and everyone knows everyone, and everyone's you know, there's always like dramas and romances and stuff. But
this, by the way, sounds like 1,000 times better and more exciting than my junior high experience. Just want to say I'm feeling jealous. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I mean, my junior high experience, this is not to go into a different story, but it had its real weird dark points. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
But there were bright spots, which is that my like group of misfit friends mm-hmm. were around, and my brother's misfit friends were also around, and we all got along.
That's
so
great.
My mom was the cool mom.
Aww.
My mom was the mom who everyone would come to if they had a problem. My mom was the mom that would tell my friends that they could like stay with us for indefinite periods of time if they were having problems with their families.
Aww.
My mom was the mom who like was basically everyone's counselor, everyone's like cheerleader. And by the way, she's like working more than full time as a doctor at this time, and like just overextending herself like crazy. But she was like super mom, right? And everyone loved her. And part of why everyone loved her is that she always took us on like trips. So like day trips. We lived in Fresno, as I mentioned. And for anyone who doesn't know Fresno, imagine the state of California and then just imagine like dead center. If you like folded it both ways, Fresno is like dead center in the center of California.
And not on the coast, more inland.
Correct. Yeah. It's between the mountains and the coast and in the big San Joaquin Valley, which is very flat and very dry and very hot. And in and of itself, you may know of Fresno because it's like the butt of a lot of jokes. Like you'll hear the word Fresno thrown about as like a place you don't want to visit. I'm just going to reserve judgment on that because I don't want to, you know, get in trouble with my friends who have really like stuck with Fresno and who are really working on making it an awesome place to live.
Okay.
I choose not to live there. We'll leave it at that. But one real major benefit of Fresno is that it is a day trip away from basically the entirety of California, right? You can take a 2-hour drive and get to the coast. You can take a 2-hour drive and get to Yosemite. You can get to LA in like 3 hours. You can get to San Francisco in 3 hours. So
that's great. That's a huge benefit.
It's a huge benefit.
Easy to escape from.
So my mom took advantage of it. My mom was like, not about to just hang out in Fresno every weekend. So what she would do is just like, we had a van and she would just like pile as many kids as possible into this van and we'd go places. And she'd just be like, well, we're going to go to San Francisco today, or we're going to go to Pismo Beach, or we're going to go to LA or whatever. And now, as a parent of one child, it like blows my mind that she willingly would like take six preteens or teenagers, early teenagers off on adventures all the time.
And that is amazing.
It is amazing, right? And she's so easygoing about it. And I think part of it also is that she like, you know, I'm thinking like, oh, this is expensive, but I think that's what she like chose to spend her money on, you know?
It like, was probably fun for her too. Like she maybe didn't want to go to those places alone. I don't know was before your stepdad was in the picture or what.
No, totally. Yeah. You know, this was actually right around the time my parents were getting a divorce. So I'm sure there's some armchair psychology that can be done there about whether, you know, how that played into it. But my mom was totally enthusiastic about packing us all in. 1 year, oh my God, this was like, I think I'm going to tell this story about what happened when I was 13, but I think it was like literally later that summer, she took six of us to the Tibetan Freedom Concert in San Francisco, which was this like giant, it was like proto Coachella, right? It was like a 2-day concert. It was like Red Hot Chili Peppers, Bjork, Beck, Rage Against the Machine. Smashing Pumpkins. I mean, Smashing Pumpkins. Amazing.
Those were that all was, the big groups at the time.
Yeah, I think this was 96, so it might have been a little later. But she just like got tickets for six of us, my brother and two friends and me and two friends, and then like let us loose.
Oh, the good old days.
We didn't have cell phones. It was just like, show back up at this time. It was And do you know what happened to my mom during that concert? This is such a tangent.
Oh, this isn't the story?
No, I know.
Jeez Louise. Okay.
I know. Okay. No. But this is like sort of like demonstrating her style. So during that concert, she ended up working in the medical tent.
she was like wandering the concert all alone, and she like found the medical tent, and she was like, hey, I'm a pediatrician. Do you guys need help? And apparently they did, because apparently all these people like brought their kids to the concert. It, you know, this was back in like the mosh pit days and stuff. So, yeah.
Lots of head injuries on 3-year-olds.
I've still never forgiven her, though, because at the end, like, of the first day, they were like, thank you so much for helping us. Can we get you some, like, backstage passes as a thank you? And what? She said no, Shauna.
Why? What?
She said she wasn't doing it for the
thinking.
I was so mad. I was so mad. But she did actually get a free poster from the concert that she ended up framing, and it's actually hanging in my toddler's room right now.
Okay, that's sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the type of person we're dealing with, right? Okay, so just randomly in 1995 or 6, she said to us, like, hey, do you guys want to go to Magic Mountain this weekend? Invite your friends. We're like, yes, please. Because Magic Mountain, for those who don't know, it's Six Flags Magic Mountain. It's like a huge roller coaster theme park. Like,
so fun. Oh my
it's not
gosh.
Like Disneyland, where it's like about the characters and the experience. Mm-hmm. It's just like pack as many roller coasters in one spot as possible, right?
Oh, make it's all about the thrill rides. Yes.
It's yes. And we were all about that. So I invited a couple friends, and Jeff invited a couple friends, and we were off. So we get in the car, we drive. It's about 2.5 hours to get to. It's like in, it's just north of LA, in a town called Valencia. Like, it's like an hour north of LA. So 2.5 hours to get down there. When we pull into the parking lot of Magic Mountain, and it's like fairly empty. And I remember we were all thinking like, oh my gosh, this is going to be so great. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be empty, and we're going to have the whole park to ourselves. So awesome. And so we all excited. We walk up. It's a really long walk from the parking lot. And we get to the front to buy our tickets. And the woman says, what school are you with?
Uh-oh.
And we were like, what? And my mom's like, why? Why are you asking? And she's like, oh, we're closed for the day for it's a private school day where they invite their graduating students, you know, to come to the park as a group. So there aren't any ticket sales just for regular people.
Oh, no.
We were like heartbroken, right? We all looked at each other and we're like, well, we wanted to go on all these rides. So, Shauna, what would you do if you were faced with this situation? Because this is before the web. Like, there was no reason to think you should call ahead and check if they're open, right? It was just like,
I guess not.
Yeah, you just go. You know, nowadays you buy your tickets ahead of time because they're $2 cheaper and you get your parking pass and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. I would never go anywhere without buying tickets ahead of time. No.
Yeah.
Forget it.
Do you remember going to the movies without buying tickets ahead of time? It was like,
oh, my God. Ooh. And you just like stand and look up at the board and see what's playing next and hope there's seats. Oh, my God.
Or looking in the newspaper.
And you get the front row because there's no seats available and you can't reserve your seats.
Mm-hmm.
The past was bullshit, man.
Although I feel like in most parts of the country now, you don't still don't reserve seats in movie theaters.
What?
Is that right?
Oh, I have no idea.
I think it's an LA thing.
Okay.
Listeners, let us know. Because in LA, if you go to the movie theater, you like reserve your specific seat.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I don't think that's
happening
everywhere.
We're fancy like that, I guess.
But maybe it's changed in the last couple of years. But last time I went to a movie in Fresno, we did not reserve a seat.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, that's another tangent. So, Shauna, what do you think you would do if you had a gaggle of young teenagers excited to go on roller coasters and you were told that the park was closed except for private groups?
Here's what I would do. I see that you're upset. It's okay to express your big emotions. We need to turn around and go home.
You're right parenting me.
You know it. Okay, I'm assuming that's not what happened here, because that's a boring end to the story. What happened?
Well, I like to think what I would do is be like, okay, you know, Knott's Berry Farm or Disneyland's just like an hour away. Let's just go there, right? Mm-hmm. Just go to an alternative, or be like, you know what? Let's go to the beach in LA instead or something, right?
Yeah, there's plenty to do nearby.
Yeah. I would not do what happened next, which is... My mom is like, I'll take care of this. She disappears, leaves. We're all just like standing there twiddling our thumbs, not knowing what to do, right?
Uh-huh.
And she was like, don't talk to anyone. I'll be back. She disappears into this little like trailer they have set up, which is where like I remember that's where you would go to get your like picture taken for your season pass, right?
Oh, okay, like, okay.
And she disappears in there, is there for like about 20 minutes. Then she comes back out and it's kind of starts like whispering under her breath. She's like, if anyone asks, we are a private middle school from Fresno, California. I am your principal. And
okay.
And then she brings us into the trailer and is like, thank you so much. I can't believe our reservation got lost. I swear I sent it in over a month ago. These kids are just really been looking forward to it. They've been studying so hard and this was their reward.
Oh my God. Go. And my Susan.
She's like made up a school name. I don't remember what it was. But yeah, she claimed she was the principal of a small private middle school in Fresno, California, and she had promised these children that they were going to get to go to Magic Mountain. And here's the thing. I think they let us in for free. Like, I don't think we paid our admission.
Oh, my God. They probably assumed you paid ahead of time or something. Because, yeah, that's probably why that day worked.
I don't know what kind of magic my mom worked, but she got us in. And just like we expected, because it was like a private event, the park was at like probably, what, 10% capacity or something?
Oh, my God.
So we were running around like we owned the place. We kept giggling about like what our school was called and like where, you know.
I wish you could remember what it was called.
Yeah, we decided we were like the Fresno Christian Academy or something like that. Because also all of us were like we were a very diverse group of friends who came from varying backgrounds. I remember my friend Isabel was there. She's Buddhist. And like we were, you know, agnostic, half Jewish kids. You know, like it was a very mixed bag. So we thought it was hilarious to think we were some like straight laced Christian school. Yeah. But yeah, I actually still have pictures from that day. And it was just so fun.
Oh, and man, she saved the day. She saved the day.
And, you know, the moral for me, I don't know, like it still makes me uncomfortable to think about being in her position and making up that lie. Like, I guess now it's a lot more verifiable. Like, you probably couldn't just do that. You know, they'd look you up and be like, that school doesn't exist.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think anyone was particularly hurt. You know, there's no real victim that day.
Yes.
We still bought a lot of food in the park and souvenirs and stuff. And I'm sure Magic Mountain didn't go under because, you know, the seven of us got free admission. But
yeah.
And yeah, it makes me think that, you know, I think I would do anything for my son. But I don't know that's definitely out of my comfort zone. And it makes me think that I gotta like maybe loosen up a little bit to be a fun mom. I don't know. Maybe or maybe I'm not gonna be fun mom. But I really loved having the fun mom, you know?
Yes. You'll just be the fun mom that buys tickets ahead of time and confirms that massive theme parks are open.
I'm the fun mom who does her research. Yeah.
Yeah. There you
That's true. Yes. That is my story.
Love it.
Shauna, I know you have a story.
I do. I have a story from actually the exact same year.
What?
Yes. Yes. I was older, of course, because I'm more geriatric than you. Yeah. And I can't wait to tell it.
But I think we are going to save it for the next episode because I went on a little long and I don't want you to feel rushed in telling your amazing story from the mid-90s.
Oh my God. Okay, thank you. Yeah, so we'll save it for the next episode and you guys can hear my saga from the 90s.
I cannot wait.
All right. Should we take a break and move on to our BFPs and BFNs?
I think we should.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor, and I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important, and therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolavie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at LOLAVIE.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. All right, so we are back and we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative of the week. Shauna, do you have a BFP or a BFN for us?
I have a BFP.
Yes.
Yes. My BFP this week is stickers.
Ooh, stickers. Okay.
Yes.
Anything in particular?
Yes.
Just stickers in general. Okay.
Well, I've always loved stickers, of course. You know, we've talked about our obsession with Lisa Frank back in the day, and I had a sticker book and whatever. And recently when I was setting up our little home preschool, I was buying lots of supplies, and I noticed that one of the things my girls really seemed interested in were stickers that had come with, like, a coloring book or something. And I was like, okay, we'll follow that. We'll follow that lead. And I went on Amazon and bought a bunch of sticker books. And it is amazing because the girls will be engaged with playing with these stickers for a long time. Especially,
really?
Yes, especially Cece. She loves it. She learned how to, like, pinch the paper and actually pull the sticker off, which was very hard for her at first. So I had to supervise a lot. But as soon as she understood that fine motor skill of picking them off herself, it's like she will even go to the drawer where I keep the stickers, open it up, take them out, and just sit there and play, peel off stickers for, I would say, at least like 30 minutes, which is huge for a toddler. Huge.
Okay, I have a lot of questions. First question is, do they not, like, get permanently stuck to every surface in your house? Like, have they improved sticker technology since we were kids?
I know. I don't know that they've improved it. Probably. I think they're probably a little less sticky. But I was going to say that is one of the downfalls of stickers, is they end up everywhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, the worst is in my shag rugs. You know, it's like stickers get stuck in there and it's like, oh my God, trying to pick those out on the wood floors is really hard. they will end up on my clothes. I like wash my clothes and I've got like little wash stickers everywhere. But what I really try to do is stay on top of it, because if it gets onto the wood floor and we forget about it and people walk by and step on it, it just gets more and more adhesed. So I really am now just this person that spends 30 minutes running around picking up stickers. So I guess that one evens out.
Oh, God. Well, okay, that was my first question.
Yeah.
My next question was, I've noticed that my guy, he is totally interested in stickers as well, but I've never gotten them for him because I wasn't sure if they were safe. Like,
as far as what?
Like choking hazards or I don't know.
Oh, interesting. I feel like that would probably be a problem for younger babies when they were really putting everything in their mouth. I mean, Cece was in that phase around like 9 to 12 months, but she's not like that really anymore. If she's teething, she'll chew on something hard, you know? But these stickers, she has no interest in that. What she does, which is very amusing to me, is she will stick them either on a paper or somewhere on her body, just one on top of the other, on top of the other, until she just has like this weird, huge mass of stickers, which of course stresses me out, right? Because I'm like, that's not the way you're supposed to use stickers. But she enjoys it. So we haven't had that problem with stickers. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. It's been gradual for us, but I think I've realized that my guy has finally gotten out of the I put everything in my mouth stage.
Mm-hmm,
he was in it for a very long time and it was very stressful, but I think we're finally there. So that's good to know. I have noticed he has interest because when we were at my dad's this week, he had a little ouchie on his knee and he's always like knee, like anytime it would like get rubbed the wrong way, you know, he stumbles and falls like all kids. And so the problem is I wasn't ever able to get a Band-Aid on him, but I also didn't have any cute Band-Aids. And so my stepmom was like, oh, well, I've got some unicorn Band-Aids. Do you want to try it? And I was like, okay. And he freaking loved the unicorn Band-Aid, was talking about the unicorn Band-Aid all the time. And then the unicorn Band-Aid fell off when he was in his car seat, like he was wearing shorts and it kind of came off. And so we stuck it to his little mirror. And every time he got into the car, he was like, ooh, corn, you know,
oh,
and he
my
won.
God.
So it did occur to me to maybe look into stickers, but I was concerned about everything being covered in stickers that would not come off.
Yes, so. It is tricky. You could buy one of those packets. Melissa and Doug has a great set of, they're not stickers, but they're stick-ons, you know, like the plastic that can stick on to, I don't know.
Oh, like glass and stuff.
Glass and glossy paper. Those are great and really fun. And I actually haven't tried those with Cece, but I bet she would like those too. So maybe that'll be the next thing I get.
Okay. Well, let me know and maybe I will follow suit.
Yes. And specifically, if anyone wants to know what we're using that's been such a big hit. I mean, stickers are cute as shit these days. There's just so many options. But we got this sticker book on Amazon called 1000 Plus, Ridiculously Cute, Absolutely Necessary, Crazy, Fabulous, Awesome, Stellar, Cool, Phenomenal Stickers, Series 1. And it's very colorful, all kinds of different themes, a different theme on every page. Elle's favorite page is like the stinky page, and it's like stickers of like slime and toilets and funny stuff like that. So it's really fun, a great way to keep them entertained. They work on their fine motor skills, and then you get the opportunity to clean up stickers for 30 minutes.
Win-win.
Win-win. All right, what about you? What do you have this week?
I also have a BFP.
Cool.
And mine is singing songs, which sounds very generic, but specifically the fact that my toddler is now starting to sing songs.
Oh,
like,
yay.
He's all of a sudden just become really good at singing songs back to us.
Oh, amazing.
And I started noticing it when we were in Fresno. He, you know, we sing him before his nap and before bedtime. We sing him Twinkle Twinkle and Baa Baa Black Sheep. And I had started noticing that he would start to sort of mimic along with the tune and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then this week, all of a sudden, it was like full-blown Twinkle Twinkle, very clear.
Wow.
And I was like, holy shit, like you can get through this whole thing. And it is the cutest thing, absolutely heart-melting. I have some audio.
Yes.
Do you want to hear him singing Twinkle Twinkle?
Of
okay,
course.
Here we go.
One, two, three.
So I have to post this video on our Instagram because it's really cute. What you heard in the middle there was he got distracted because there was a window with a chime in it. And that was what he needed to point at.
Yeah.
But the really adorable thing about this is he has to like clap for himself at the end.
Oh, yes. That's adorable.
And he looks so cute.
Aww.
And the other thing that I noticed is that there's a song we sing in my Toddler and Me class that we do, our virtual Toddler and Me, called Jell-O in the Bowl. Do you know about Jell-O in the Bowl?
No, what's that?
Okay, so it's like a movement song. So you put your like hands up like you're holding up the sky, right? And you're like, Jell-O in the bowl, Jell-O in the bowl, jiggle, 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 Jell-O in the bowl. And then there's like birdie in a tree and you do your little like chirping with fingers.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's ducky in a pond and then there's turtle on a rock. And so like it at the end, it's dynamic. So it's like gets quiet and you go turtle on a rock, shh.
Mm-hmm.
And you have your like fists one on top of each other and the top one's kind of crawling like a turtle. And you go, turtle on a rock, shh, crawling, 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 turtle on a rock, shh. And then you take a pause and then you just like slam your hands down on the table or wherever you are and you go, mouse in the house, hurry, 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 mouse in the house, right?
Yeah.
It has like a big dynamics thing. Literally out of the blue, I look over at him and he's just doing the whole thing with the choreography.
What? Oh my gosh.
And it blows my mind. It's like, I feel like it's a leap. I don't think Wonder Weeks is like happening anymore. I don't think
no,
it covers
they
up to
ended.
This age.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it felt like such a huge leap in like language and understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Because like not only is he just sort of, he's not just repeating back. He's not just being a parrot, mm-hmm. you know, repeating back. Like he's remembering and he's like, he knows to get quiet on the turtle part. He knows to get loud on the mouse part.
Yeah.
And it's like so fascinating to watch. And it's just so cute.
That's amazing.
But the other thing, it's kind of hard at nap time because at nap time and bedtime. So like just last night, Corey and I were putting him to bed and we always do Twinkle Twinkle and then we always do Baa Baa Black Sheep and then we put him down. And we were rocking him, you know, I'm going twinkle, twinkle, trying to be all calm. And he just goes full voice. He starts going, yucca, yucca, little star. And Corey and I just can't keep a straight face because it's hilarious. Like he's got his head on my shoulder and he's just belting out like
oh
twinkle, twinkle
God.
And Baa Baa Black Sheep. And so we all end up laughing and then he ends up laughing because it's really funny. And we're like, ruining the vibe for uh-huh. bedtime.
Aww, but what a fun family moment. Like sharing
it
the
really
laughter.
Is.
That's cute.
It really
and important.
Is. It's so sweet. Mm-hmm. It's so, so sweet. And I just love watching it. And also, like, I'm just really impressed. Like, I'm just very
yes.
impressed by him.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me feel like a proud mama.
Yeah. Aw, that's so sweet. Cece has been listening to Enya. or us. Elle's old routine of listening to like 10 straight hours of Enya music on her Alexa is now transferred over to Cece. And just it
Let
reminded
the
Orinoco
me. No go flow.
Yeah. She's kind of singing. She wants us to like sing our lullabies like to the tune of Enya. It's like, it's bananas. Well, like we put her down and I put her down. And then like the second I leave, she's in bed just like, Enya! Enya! Enya, 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 Enya! And like I watched back the video and she just like sang Enya over and over
oh,
and so enthusiastic about it. And yeah, it's like their connection to music is becoming stronger now.
Yeah, and he's doing the same thing. He'll be in his crib and he'll just be like on his back just singing his songs, like not going to bed. So I guess there's a downside to it, but you know, he's entertained. He's not crying.
Oh, to me, that's no downside. That's like, yeah, she's entertaining herself. She's in her room. I get to do what I want to do. Like, whatever. I'm just like totally down.
That's
with
true.
That.
That's yes. true. That's free time.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
But anyway, speaking of free time, shall we go give ourselves some free time and wrap this episode up?
I think we should.
Who am I kidding? We're going to go do all the million things we need to do on our to-do list.
Oh, that's right. Jam it in. Jam it in, baby. Oh, that sounds dirty. Okay. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. If you have anything you want to share with us, any throwback stories, oh boy, we would love to hear those from you. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at BFP Podcast. We also have a website, BigFatPositivePodcast.com. You can send us an email. You could include a voice memo if you want to contact@BigFatPositivePodcast.com. Finally, join our Facebook community group. It's a fantastic private group. Just search Big Fat Positive Community. Please answer the 2 membership questions and that will get you right through so you can join in on all the amazing conversations we're having in there.
And thank you everyone for the reviews and ratings you've been leaving for us. Thank you. We appreciate it so much. It really helps other people find our show, want to take a chance on the show, and we're so grateful. And if you haven't done so yet, please go to iTunes or wherever you listen and give us a rating and review. And if you love the show, please spread the word. Let your friends know about BFP. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.